Please stand with me this morning for the reading of the Word of God. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, we're going to read one verse this morning. We're going to read verse 11. Read that verse together. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Say amen when you found that scripture this morning. Amen. Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. Read with me, the Bible says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." You may be seated.
The title of this morning's message is Pleasure. Pleasure. We read a moment ago in Revelation chapter number 4 and verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy what? Pleasure, they are and were created." God made all things for his pleasure. He made you, and he finds pleasure in you. God is not against pleasure. He enjoys pleasure, and he wants us to enjoy the life that he has given to us and to have pleasure as well. Look at Psalms chapter 16 and verse number 11. Psalms 16, 11. Middle of your Bible. Psalms 16, 11. When you're there, say amen. If you're not yet there, say hallelujah. If you're there and there now, say praise God.
Praise God.
Psalms chapter 16, verse 11, David says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of what? And at thy right hand, there are what? For how long?" God wants us to have fullness of joy and continual pleasure. The pleasure that's found with God is continual, it's constant, it's consistent, it doesn't stop. David tells us again in Psalms chapter 84, turn back a couple of chapters there to Psalms chapter 84, verse number 10. Psalms 84 and verse 10. David says, "For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness." David was saying, give me one day with God over a thousand days without God. One day with God is more fulfilling. You'll find more pleasure in one day with God than in a thousand days without God. The pleasure found in one day with God is equal to the pleasure of a thousand days without God. The book of Hebrews takes it a step further. Look at Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 24. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 24. "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer" what? "Affliction with the people of God than to enjoy" the what? "Pleasures of sin." For how long? See, Satan's copycat sin is not continual. It's not constant. It doesn't last forever. It's temporary, and it only lasts a season. Verse 26, it says, he said, Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Listen, there's some talking going on. Everybody sit up straight. Pay attention. I want to help you this morning. If you'll listen, this truth will revolutionize your Christian life. Your worst day in life walking with God is better than your best day in life walking without God. Give me the suffering of affliction with God by my side, holding my hand over the pleasures of sin for a season with God's presence quenched by my sin. Satan wants to hijack your pleasure. He wants you to be pleased with everything but Christ. Look up here, children. Look up here, young people. He wants to give you a temporary pleasure to steal your joy and keep you from the constant pleasure found in Christ by offering you the temporary, fleeting, unfulfilling pleasures of sin for a season. The pleasures of sin are not everlasting. The pleasures of sin bring guilt. The pleasures of God bring peace. The pleasures of sin bring brief happiness. The pleasures of God bring continual joy. Satan is a counterfeiter. He has nothing original of his own to offer us except for sin. John 8:43, listen as I read it. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him, Satan. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the father of lies. He is the originator of sin, who tempted Eve with it in the Garden of Eden. He's a copycat. Satan can only take what God has already created that benefits us and try to make a duplicate to try to steal us and distract us from the original. Satan can only offer you a shadow of what God can. Satan tries to replace all the good things God wants us to have with a substitute, or at least try to pervert the good things to make us think we shouldn't enjoy that. To try to steal our heart away from God. To try to keep us from loving God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Joshua 22:5 says, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. And what Satan wants to do, he wants to get you addicted to something other than God, because that'll steal your heart, that'll distract your vision, and that'll keep you from serving him, that'll keep you from directing others to Christ. Satan hath desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I have been addicted to sin. I know what I'm talking about your worst day with God is better than your best day without God. Every Christian in here who's honest could testify of that. Let me say that Satan doesn't care what sin he gets you addicted to. And he doesn't even care if what he gets you addicted to isn't a sin in and of itself. As long as he can get you addicted to something other than God, he has succeeded in distracting you from that which would satisfy. And Satan doesn't satisfy. Sin cannot satisfy. God satisfies. God can satisfy your soul. Look, with just one verse in your devotions. Even though you've been saved for many years, you can open the Word of God, the King James Bible, and one verse, the very first verse you read, can be so powerful and speak directly to your heart in such a way as to move you to tears of joy, comfort your heart, bring you joy, and leave you satisfied. One verse. But there's not one sin that after being addicted to that or experienced that many years, you can have just one time and be satisfied. The substitutes that Satan offers never leave you satisfied. And after many years of an addiction, one beer doesn't satisfy. One joint of marijuana doesn't satisfy. One look at a woman doesn't satisfy. One cigarette doesn't satisfy. One wicked song doesn't satisfy. One level in the video game doesn't satisfy. Yes, even video games can become idols in your life. And what's sad is we use spiritual excuses for our sin. Well, I have to be a good video game player because I'm going to be a youth pastor and I need the respect of the teenagers. That's one I used. Seriously. Well, I have to be good at video games so I can beat the teenagers and they can respect me. No, how about I have to walk with God so they can see God's presence in my life and then they'll respect me. I was going about it all wrong. And it wasn't until my two-year-old daughter, my wife said, I got to go grocery shopping. Can you watch Kimmy? And I was like, yeah. Because I wasn't going to watch Kimmy. I was going to play a video game. Because I knew it annoyed my wife, so I'll play when she's not there. So my little two-year-old daughter comes and sits down as I'm sitting cross-legged on the floor playing Star Wars Battlefront. I thought, this is great. I get to hold my daughter and play video games. The best of both worlds. Till she stood up all of a sudden and jacked my jaw with her head. Oh, what are you doing? Don't do that. She sits back down. Now I'm ready. Next time she stands up, I dodged. Missed me. Did it again. Missed me. Then she stood up and she turned around, and she's still right under me here, 2 years old. Reaches up with her chubby little fingers. It's okay to have chubby babies, amen. They're healthy. Puts her hands on my cheeks and pulls my face down. And I'm looking into her little blue eyes, and she's, Daddy, won't you play with me? I thought, wow. A PlayStation has more of my heart than my daughter? And I took the controller and just did this. And that day I let go of video games. Video games can be an addiction. And you can use a spiritual reason. Well, I got to be good so I can reach others. Okay. Oh, I need to listen to country music so that I can have some love songs to sing to my wife. I used that excuse in my mind. I did. Well, this is okay because I got to be able to sing something to my wife. You know, my addiction to video games, I would play through the night because I liked to win and because winning gave me pleasure. 95% of the video games I played, I beat the entire game. But after you beat it, what's there to do? What happens to the pleasure? It's done. The devil has many deceptive, temporary pleasures that he offers you to try to blind you to the lasting pleasure found in God. I would literally, in high school, go to sleep listening to the country music station with my headphones on because I found some sense of pleasure from the songs. But as soon as the music would stop, my heartache would return. So I just go to sleep with the music on so I wouldn't have to face my heartache. You know, the music never did help my heartache. Only God did. Satan offers you many choices of pleasures that leaves you full of guilt, emptiness, and remorse, trying to keep you from the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Let me just tell you from experience, there's nothing like the peace of God. There's a difference when you lay down your head on the pillow and you hope God doesn't come back because you know you're guilty, but you don't want to let go of your sin. Verse, after you've confessed that sin, you can lay yourself down on your pillow with a clean conscience and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. I know what I'm talking about. That pleasure that brings that kind of guilt and shame, finally I came to realize, isn't worth it. The pleasure is not worth the bite. Satan wants to try to addict you to something other than God. It may be video games. It may be drugs. It may be alcohol. It may be pornography. It may be the nicotine and cigarettes and vaping. It may be through social media. It may be money or a career. One of the greatest tactics he will use is relationships. Why? Because relationships bring us pleasure. That's why God created them. He receives pleasure from having a relationship with us, and we receive pleasure from having a relationship with him. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. After teaching this to the teens, and I wasn't able to go in such depth, but I felt like this was something we all needed to hear. And I needed to hear again myself. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There's a time to everything under heaven. Let me say, there's three commandments that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Three. Number one, the very first thing he said, the very first commandment, be fruitful and multiply. The second commandment, replenish and subdue the earth. The third commandment, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Do you know what all three of these have in common? All three deal with pleasure. It is a godly pleasure for a husband and a wife to be together. Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. In other words, the pleasure of marriage is a good thing, but it needs to be done God's way. It's a godly pleasure found in exercising God-given authority. It is fun to be in charge. The third command was to warn Adam against counterfeit pleasure. Sin. Don't do it. It isn't worth it. You will die. James 1, 14 through 16 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death, not peace. Death, not life. Death, not joy. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Bible says that the wages of sin is death. The guilt of sin is one of the number one reasons Christians commit suicide. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. You're in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, skip down to verse number 5. It says, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. Young people, there's a time to get married and a time to wait to get married. Amen? And boys, if you think girls are pretty, good. And girls, if you think boys are pretty, handsome, good. You know, when Adam saw Eve, he said, whoa, man. God didn't make Eve, so when Adam saw her, he went, God made women beautiful. But look, God made one woman specifically for you. God made men handsome to women. We can't figure it out. But ladies, God made one man handsome for you. Look at verse number 11. It says, he hath made everything beautiful, what? In his time. Now look, I know there's some Christians in here. Maybe you made some mistakes in relationship areas before you got saved. Praise the Lord for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers that. I know there's probably some Christians in here who made relational mistakes even as you are saved. Praise God that he's a God of the 70 times 70 of forgiveness, and that we can still find forgiveness in God and he can still use us. But let me just say, you don't have to make relational mistakes. Let me just say, you don't want to make relational mistakes. I've talked to Christian couples who have waited until marriage to enjoy the joys of marriage, and they always say, we're glad we waited. I've never talked to a Christian couple that waited until marriage to enjoy the pleasure of marriage that said, man, we wish we wouldn't have waited. I've also talked to many Christian couples who didn't wait to enjoy the pleasures of marriage before marriage, and they all say, we wish we would have waited. Everyone. Why? Because God makes everything beautiful in his time. And when you try to take the pleasures that God offers before it's time for you to receive them, they're not pleasurable like you think they're going to be. Look at Amnon, for example. Amnon, the Bible said, loved a woman so much it made him sick. He was that much in love with this woman. But he didn't wait and do things right and say I do at the altar and marry her and then enjoy the pleasures of marriage with her. He went ahead and reached ahead out of season and he took her by force. And the Bible says that the hatred that he hated her with afterwards was as much or more as the love he loved her with before. Let me just say, one thing is going to happen when you try to experience pleasure in the flesh and not in the spirit. You're going to hate the pleasure when you're done. You're going to hate yourself, and you're going to hate the affection or object that you took the pleasure from before it was time. It doesn't satisfy. When you try to take pleasures before God says or out of God's will, it doesn't satisfy. But if you'll enjoy the pleasures of God when he makes it beautiful in his time, it brings you joy and peace and satisfaction. The pleasures of God must be done the right way. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. And I told the teenagers there at Flagpole, I said, one of the big mistakes that I see teenagers in our country making nowadays is they want to reach ahead to the season of marriage and the joys of marriage before it's time, because they want to enjoy the pleasures of marriage before it's time, but they're not satisfied and they're miserable and they're full of guilt and full of anxiety and there's no peace. Some of the most dangerous years of your life spiritually is when you are approaching the years of marriage and the first 10 years of marriage. When do we hunt animals? When they're looking for a mate. Because they're out of their minds. You know, when we're looking for our mate, sometimes we can get out of our minds. And we are easy targets for Satan. We let down our guard. Just go skipping through the forest. And he's waiting in the tree stand with a 30-06. When's the best time to go salmon fishing? During the spawn. Any fishing? During the spawn. Why? Because that is a vulnerable time in their life. The same thing with us. The time in your life when you're looking to get married and right after you've gotten married are some of the main times Satan attacks and tempts you. And Satan is tempting you with pleasures that only last temporarily. And in order, the purpose is, let me say, in order to get the same pleasure, you have to smoke even more cigarettes next time. You have to vape that much longer. You have to drink more wine and more beers. You have to take more drugs. You have to switch to heavier drugs. You have to look at more ungodly pictures. You have to listen to more ungodly music to get the same amount of temporary satisfaction that doesn't satisfy. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus," I say, even in the area of pleasure. He supplies your need. Pleasure is a godly emotion and experience when done God's way, when achieved through godly means. And what Satan wants to do is hijack the pleasures in your life and your pleasure area. He wants you to think that there's not the kind of pleasure found with God that there is in the tents of wickedness. Or he wants to get you to think that you can never experience the pleasures of God after you've been in the tents of wickedness. He'll never invite you back. Not according to Jeremiah. Didn't get there that far this week in adult Sunday school, but not according to that. He says, come back to me. Come back to me. Come back to me. Stop allowing Satan to hijack the pleasure of your life. Stop allowing Satan to blind you, distract you from the constant pleasure found in the Lord, with the Lord, by his side, with his presence, through his word, through the preaching and teaching of the word of God, the peace that passeth all understanding, joy unspeakable and full of glory found in the Lord. I've tasted both. The tents of wickedness are not worth it. They do not satisfy. It brings guilt, anxiety, hate. You hate yourself. The pleasures of God bring joy, peace. Give me one day with God over 1,000 days without God. My worst day in life, with God by my side, is better than 1,000 days in life without God by my side. I was talking to a Christian man from another church. He was struggling. His marriage was struggling. We were driving back to that church. And he said, "I just don't see how you can be satisfied living the Christian life." He was into alcohol and different things. And I said, the reason why you don't see how to be satisfied is because you haven't tasted the Christian life. The reason why you like the alcohol is because you tasted it. I said, the Bible says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I said, "I'm having a time as a Christian. We just got back from paintball. I got to shoot people and not go to jail." I'm having a time in my Christian life. There's all kinds of fun found in being a Christian. And it's good, clean, joy. I said, "The problem, sir, is that you haven't tasted it to see it's good. You haven't sat down, opened your Bible, and said, 'God, I want to feel your presence. I want that joy. I want that peace. Please guide and direct me. Show me you.'" I said, you're not really serious about it. You will not experience the joy or the presence of God until you get serious about it, until you really want it. You know what I had to do to get out of the tents of wickedness? I had to develop a hate for it. And when the pleasure was presented, I reminded myself of the aftermath. And I said, "No, I hate that. It's not worth it. Give me God. Give me God." You can't do it in the power of your own might. You have to do it in the power of his might. You have to get in the word of God. Let me say, you get in the word of God. You pray. You be faithful to church. Iron sharpeneth iron. We're encouraging each other in the Lord this morning. You'll come out of the darkness you were trapped in and say, "Man, look what I was missing. Look what I was missing. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Satan is a counterfeit. He can offer you temporary relief through some drugs. But when you come out of the stupor, your problems and the heartache is there again. He can offer you temporary relief from that can of beer. But after you come away from the haze that it puts you in, reality is still there waiting for you. He can offer you temporary relief with whatever you want to put in there, whatever addiction he's offering to you. But it doesn't last. God offers you constant peace, constant joy. God, with God, all things are possible. With God, you can face reality and the world becomes a sweeter place to live in when you're walking with him. Are you walking with the Lord today, Christian? Where are you getting your pleasure from? If your number one pleasure is not found walking in the Lord, you need to get your heart right with the Lord today. Whatever it is you're addicted to, you need to lay down on the altar and say, God, take it, it's yours. Fill me with you. Give me the joy of thy presence. May I be full of your pleasure.